It's. Whoa, that was a wild sneeze. Yo, did you guys hear that?
Was that Kobe or Vicky?
Sounded like something popped.
That was Vic. Whoa. Okay. It's okay. All right. Well, let me just restart this.
No, Ice does that sometimes, and she scares the shit out of me.
Yo, has it gotten worse since she's pregnant?
The sneezing?
Yeah, or just like any like weird noises and shit.
She's laughing in the background right now.
I don't know, man. I'm just asking.
No, it's lesser than it was before, luckily. Because sometimes she's out of the blue and she has like the loudest sneeze and it's like, it's awful.
It's I was going to say it's an Asian thing, but...
That's like the only thing now that scares the crap out of me.
Sneezes?
Yeah, they're violent. It's like so silent and all of a sudden...
That was a good impersonation. 10 out of 10 there.
Was,
if it was deep.
That was a strong sneeze.
Maybe. It was 9 out close. 10. It's like way more violent than that.
What's up, everybody? And welcome back to the Hoops Corner. I'm your host, Peter Tran. And on the line, the Iceman himself, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
I'm excited for a big weekend coming up. You got the big UFC event, and then you got All-Star Weekend. It's going to be great.
Yay, All-Star Weekend all on one Sunday. Yeah.
I think it's better that way, to be honest, instead of having like a three-day window where the first day nobody watches the Rising Stars competition anyway. And All-Star Saturday night is obviously the big one. But, you know, the game on Sunday is hit or miss. Usually a miss.
Hey, man, Elam ending. That's all you can wait for these days.
Yeah, hopefully this year it's the same thing as last year where the players are actually competitive, but most of the players going into it have already said they've already mentally checked out before even arriving in Atlanta, so that's not great.
Oh, dear. The banger in the paint. This guy's getting more buckets than Zion Williamson. How you doing, Rajon Wall? Yeah.
Yeah, I wish. Well, we're going to see Zion on the All-Star Day. I don't even call it a weekend anymore, really. It's we just get everything loaded on Sunday, so we can... We'll take what we can get.
So sad, man. It sounds so desperate.
Hey, you know what? When it was around Valentine's Day, you had like the whole weekend planned. You had different groups of people you watch the All-Star game with and the skills comp. And you know what? You spread the fun over a few days, especially during our Canadian winters.
Yeah, it's true. Josh, that's what we're going to miss the most, man. It's these gatherings of like 10 people, 15 people all gambling on if Terrence Ross is going to win the dunk contest.
Yeah, you guys always used to come over to my place when we had you know, the All-Star weekend, and then we went to our other friend's place up in Barrhaven and you know, had a great Saturday night drinking and making ridiculous bets. Some we won on, some we definitely did not. So it was good times.
I think that's how I was introduced to NBA gambling, man.
I apologize for that.
Yeah, it was through you guys, and look at us now, buying NBA GIFs for hundreds of dollars at a time.
NFT is wave of the future.
Oh, man. All right, well, let's get into this. The Atlanta Hawks have fired Lloyd Pierce after, I think he was there for a couple of years, and let's be real, the main reasoning here is that the Hawks are just absolutely awful. They have one of the worst defenses in the league. You had high expectations going into it this year. They brought in a variety of free agents this offseason. I guess it was October, November. Danilo Gallinari, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Rajon Rondo, who is, you know, Josh, a multi-time NBA champion, and our favorite defender, Chris Dunn, all of which have been injured for a majority of the season. Gallinari finally had his one good game of the year, and then he's gone back to being complete shit. There's been a lack of development for Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter. Kevin Huerter, as much as we love the guy, is like very so-so. Trae Young still doesn't get along with his coach, even though the coach literally did everything he could for Trae Young. Like, I'm pretty sure we all had the same thoughts about this team's offense, where it was just, hey, Trae Young, take the ball and do whatever you want. Right? Like, that was the whole offense. And yet, the guy wanted more of the offense catered towards him? I don't know, man. This kid is very difficult to understand. John Collins also didn't get along with Lloyd Pierce. Last year, he told Lloyd Pierce that there needs to be more movement with the ball. There needs to be more plays run for the guy. I mean, he's your rim runner. You got to feed your big man once in a while. Nope. Lloyd Pierce told him to stop being so selfish and get with the game plan. All in all, Lloyd Pierce just did not connect well with his stars. And to make matters worse, this offseason, they brought in Nate McMillan onto his coaching staff. So usually, you know, it's usually the head coach that brings in his coaching staff, right? But in this case, there are situations when the front office just brings in their own guys. And this was one of them. They brought in Nate McMillan. He was planned to be the assistant coach throughout the whole year. But everyone knew that this meant Lloyd Pierce was on the hot seat. There was no way around it. And, you know, lo and behold, a couple of months later, a couple of losing streaks, Lloyd Pierce gets the boot. And to top it off, he has a meeting with his coaches. Lloyd Pierce, being like the consummate professional, goes, "Guys, I just got the boot, but, you know, I have total faith in Nate McMillan. This is what needs to go on. This is what, you know, you guys should be striving for." I'm impressed. Just as a person, to be fired and then to have a team meeting and say, "Hey, you know, it was great working with you guys. And, you know, like, Nate has my full backing." That's impressive, man. I mean, Josh, how the hell do you recover this team? Because this Hawks team is just absolutely god awful to watch.
They just have to get healthy. I mean, I don't really know what they're expecting this season. They were expecting to be a really bad defensive team and a really good offensive team. And so far, for the most part, when they've been healthy, that's what they have been. And, you know, I think you said that DeAndre Hunter was one of the guys where his development hasn't been great, but I think it has been. I think that his development and him missing time is a reason ultimately why Pierce got fired. Because if he was playing right now, they'd probably be 500 at least, because he was playing exceptional basketball. And, you know, their offseason acquisitions, like I said before the season started, didn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, Rajon Rondo has barely even played, first of all. And when he's been on the court, I think they're like minus 15 points per 100 possessions. It's ridiculous. No. He doesn't Rondo fit with Trae Young, playoffs, first man. Of all.
He's there for the playoffs. You know this.
Playoffs?
Well, they were supposed to make the playoffs, remember?
They were supposed to make the playoffs. Oh, just give me a Clipper by the time the trade deadline comes. I mean, it makes a lot of sense for them to get rid of him now.
That'd be great.
It seemed like an asset play with him anyway, but ultimately with this Hawks team, I think they are where they should be based on the amount of injuries that they've had. And, you know, if they were healthy, I think they'd be around the 6-8 seed, which is what they expected going into the year. But ultimately, in a perfect world, like, Travis Schlenka should have got fired before the coach. And then, you know, whoever is brought in at that point can bring in their own guy, because he was the one that made all these changes trying to save his job this season. And it hasn't worked out so far because a lot of the guys he's brought in are, you know, injury-riddled players, injury-prone players, and this is where they are now.
Yeah, I'm going to just pile onto the Hawks organization. I don't think this is Lloyd Pierce's fault. He was dealt a tough hand last year, and it was completely a developmental year for a lot of those players. And like Josh mentioned, I thought Hunter took a big stride forward this year. He was shooting well. He was a contributor both on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. And I think there was a lot of questions about the offseason moves they made. They got some good players, but those players were also going to take away minutes from players the year previous that were kind of gaining momentum, gaining experience. Like, you had Bogdan Bogdanovic, who was going to take minutes away from Herder. You had Danilo Gallinari, who was probably going to play some four and take minutes away from Collins. And then you obviously had Rondo, who playoff Rondo is a different player than regular season Rondo. So those players they brought in, I think, created competition, which you want on a team, but I don't think they complemented what they were building in that organization. And I think injuries in the beginning of the year to a lot of those players they brought in, Bogdan Bogdanovic got injured, what, like 10 games in? And he only played, I think, his first game last night against the Heat, or maybe the night before. But injuries hurt them. I also think the style and attitude that Trae Young has, I think at a certain point, your stars have to start taking an accountability. And I think that Trae Young obviously is a highlight package, but you have to play winning basketball. You got to make the right plays. And I made this comment to you guys individually, but I think that Trae Young shown a lot of the Russell Westbrook instincts. Obviously, his game is completely different. But in terms of managing the game late in the clock, managing how your other star players are getting the ball, how involved they are, I think he's done a poor job, and obviously part of it has to go on Pierce, but I think the hill that Trae Young decided to die on is not going to be a good one, because Nate McMillan is a coach that likes his things a certain way. He's more of a defensive-minded coach, and if he brings the Indiana offense, I don't think we're going to be seeing the same highlight reels from Trae Young. And his first game with Nate McMillan as the coach, he had a lackluster first three quarters, and they were able to get the W, but it wasn't, he wasn't putting up the same numbers as he was with Lloyd Pierce.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's tough at this point, right? Like, how do you really recover from that? Because the guys basically had free reign over the offense for he's in his third year, right? Same year as Luka and Bagley. So, you know, after this long, how do you sort of rein that back? Because you really got to control the guy. You can't just have him going up and, you know, chucking up his shots right after he gets past the half court line. Granted, you want a player with that kind of confidence, right? Everyone needs that kind of confidence as the primary ball handler, as a primary scorer. But at the same time, it's really deflating for your offense when the guy just chucks it up and misses, right? And that's the end of your offensive possession. So imagine playing, you know, 24 seconds of hard defense. You're there, you're grinding. And this dude just goes up and chucks like a 28-footer. No offense run, no picks being set. You're not even past half court yet. And then you got to go back on defense? Like, that's a real vibe killer. And then you don't even need to be like a professional player for this to happen. We've each played in enough pickup games to know that there's always that one dude who thinks he can pull up no matter what. And it's like, why am I even here? Why am I even on the floor at this point? Just to play defense for you? No. And you're my point guard, you know? Like, I don't know, man. As a point guard, shouldn't you want to involve your guys more often instead of just chucking it up like that? So I guess the question now is, you know, how do you reteach these bad or unteach these bad habits, Josh?
You have to bring in a coach that has, you know, the sway to make Trae Young change his game just a little bit, at least. I mean, he can still do a lot of things that he's been doing because he's a really good offensive player. And when he's on the floor, the Hawks are a really good offensive team, and he's the engine of that. But at the same time, you also have to see what you have, especially with Cam Reddish, because he's probably the guy that unlocks, you know, them being a top-level team versus just like a middling team. Because he has all the talent in the world, and if he is able to become like an 18 to 22 point per game guy that can play some good defense, along with DeAndre Hunter actually staying healthy, then you have a real lineup there. Because when their top guys play, not Cam Reddish, but if, you know, with DeAndre Hunter, Trae Young, Clint Capella, and John Collins all playing together, those lineups kill. And when they're off the floor, they're really bad. So if you can get Cam Reddish in the fold and, like, you know, play that five-man lineup and it actually comes to fruition where this team is really taken off on both sides of the ball and they can hide Trae Young a little bit, having those wings that can actually play a little bit of defense over the course of the next couple of years, then you might actually have something. Like, their core isn't that bad. Like, it's actually pretty solid if you compare it to, like, other teams with, you know, a top-level guy. Like, you compare it to, like, Dallas and what Luka has. They have a lot more young guys than Dallas does, and they have a lot more guys with potential than Dallas does. Just a matter of, like, culminating that and making it work over the course of the next couple of years. I think they ultimately just rush things, sort of like what Philly did making trades for a lot of guys instead of just taking one more year of development and seeing what you have with these guys. And the guys that they brought in aren't playing, so it just seems like a total waste.
Yeah, and again, if they are playing, they're taking away from the development of those young guys that really could use their experience in their second or third years. But actually, it's funny that you mentioned Dallas, because while we were talking about this, I wonder how different Atlanta's results would have been if they had a coach like Rick Carlisle. Like, instead of talking about the Trae Young, if Luka was on Atlanta, how would they do? Like, how would the Atlanta Hawks do if Rick Carlisle was the coach coaching them? I think they would be a better team. So from that perspective, I think the Hawks gave Lloyd Pierce enough time, and he definitely had the roster, although this year with injuries, it's a little difficult, but he knows it's a results-driven league, and good on him for acknowledging that, you know what, I didn't do enough, but I care about this organization. I want them to do better, and having that coaches meeting. But I don't know. I think you can't really fault the Hawks, but I don't think it's all Pierce's fault. I think the next coach that Trae Young has, it's not going to be on that coach. It's going to be on Trae Young making those decisions, because Atlanta's been in a lot of close games. Sometimes they get blown out, but their end of management game and who's taking the last couple of shots and running the offense in the fourth quarter is a bit of a mess.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's tough. I don't know. We got to assume John Collins is out of here, right? I mean, he already turned down the extension from earlier this year. So, I mean, with a guy that young with that much talent, and he's already expressed himself as not wanting to come back, you know, where could John Collins end up? Because I got to think he's got to be one of the main guys at the deadline to be moved, right?
I don't think Atlanta moves him, but I think he will probably want to look for a place where he's going to be the focal point. I think he feels a little outshone by Trae Young, because this is Trae Young's team. Trae Young controls who gets the ball, and I think John Collins, obviously a young, exciting player that's energetic. He might look other places. There's a few teams that I think could use his services, but I don't think he gets moved at the deadline. I think they've already made the coaching change. They're going to ride it out, and they're going to try to push for the playoffs. It really seems like Atlanta's goal is playoffs this year.
I mean, if they're a smart organization, they're going to move him, because they already have like 100+ million in contracts without him going into next year, I believe. And then plus you got Reddish and Huerter eventually coming up. So I think at this point, with him turning down that extension, it seems like he wants to go elsewhere if he's not going to get a max contract, which Atlanta doesn't seem to want to give him. So with those two sides not agreeing on things, I think it's time to part ways and try to get as much as you can for him.
Okay, where does he go?
I think a team like Sacramento makes a lot of sense. You trade a veteran player like Harrison Barnes, and then you trade Bagley, maybe a pick or something. You trade those guys for Collins, and at least you get like a young, potentially rising big man in Bagley back, and you get a guy like Barnes that can actually help you win this year, and then maybe get a pick in the future.
Trying to make the Hawks Kings East over here, eh? Bogdan Bogdanovic, Harrison Barnes, Marvin Bagley.
Bagley. Yeah. You might as well bring in Luke Walton there, because they need a coach.
Oh,
eh?
No, you don't want Luke Walton on this team.
Breaking clipboards.
Man, breaking clipboards and not wearing a mask in Atlanta, not the best idea for Luke Walton. It's dangerous territory, man.
Well, he fit in Atlanta, since nobody over there wears a mask.
Yeah, you don't want him bringing that back to Bill Walton, though. Bill Walton's old, Josh.
This is
Can't
true.
Can't risk that for Bill. You know, we need Bill around.
He's a treasure. We must protect him at all costs.
Exactly. I was thinking more like a team like Boston, you know, a team like someone that could use a, I guess he's a smaller four, right? But he can still defend the perimeter when he needs to. He's a good rim runner. Be great with like Tatum and Brown, right? Good defensive player.
Yeah, but how do you get him there?
Yo, he's only on contract for like $4 million.
Yeah, but you have to trade something for him. Not just gonna give him away.
Yeah, give him some. Man, Boston's got a lot of young perimeter players that nobody knows about. Give him Aaron Nesmith and Semi Ojeleye.
Oh, God.
No?
No.
You don't like Ojeleye? Nobody likes Semi Ojeleye.
What about a potential for sending Michael Porter Jr. for him?
No. I would never do that as a Nuggets fan. Oh, my goodness.
Hell no. God damn. How dare you? What is...
I think it could work. I think Michael Porter Jr., like from what I've, again, not to go on a Nuggets rant here, but from what I've heard, it's like he's ruffled a few feathers in Denver. So I think obviously he's still an exceptional talent, and Denver wouldn't want to give him up for John Collins. But I think that right now, if Denver's trying to win, I think Michael Porter Jr. hasn't taken enough steps to really take on that third role. And I think John Collins could help them, but spacing would obviously be the issue with Denver.
No, they wouldn't even put Michael Porter Jr. up for James Harden talks, let alone John Collins.
Yeah, if you're trading Michael Porter Jr., you're getting a piece like Bradley Beal back. I think that Denver might be able to get a guy like Collins without putting Porter Jr. in the deal, though. You give up all your young pieces, give up like Hampton, Bol Bol, maybe a couple first-round picks.
Just one Harden. Of those guys would be enough, right?
I don't know. Collins is a good player. Like, he actually has some value.
But you'd have to make a multiplayer deal, right? If you want to move that many contracts at once. Because Collins is on such a cheap contract. It actually amazes me how low it is, right? Like, we keep forgetting. The guy, how old is he right now? John Collins is 23? That's like nothing. Mm-hmm. He's still on his rookie contract, so you don't even need to send it that much for him. So,
but Atlanta's going to want some value.
Yeah, so they want young, like, you would assume that they want a young player, right? Someone that they can grow and develop. Someone like RJ Hampton would be great. No, Bobo. Bobo is not leaving, Josh. You should know better.
I think ultimately, though, like one of the younger teams that's not really in it right now might be the destination for a guy like John Collins. He's not like fully ready to play on like a really ready-made winning team in the playoffs yet. But I can see him going to a team like Sacramento, Cleveland, I think makes a lot of sense too. They got some guys that they can trade.
Right? Yo, Cleveland's going to pull the Denver Nuggets from the bubble and just start like an all big lineup. Come on, man.
I don't know. You put him with Jared Allen. That makes a lot of sense for me.
I hope they play Jared Allen, Kevin Love, and John Collins all at once. And Andre Drummond just for one game.
I totally forgot about Kevin Love. Is he ever coming back?
They say after the All-Star break, but who knows?
Yeah.
I wouldn't count on it, I guess. It would be very nice. I love Kevin Love, man. That guy's so good. Used to be so good. Remember when Kevin Love broke his hand doing push-ups, he said?
Also, another team to watch out for, OKC. I could see that making some sense, too.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, they make a lot of sense for a lot of teams just because they have so much salary space and they have picks and they really have everything to make a move. But I could see that. He'd be a nice partner with Shea, and you're slowly building with Shea and Collins, two young players that you're probably able to lock up on long-term deals and then probably looked at another star. And then you have a really good team.
What about Minnesota?
It's just, what do they have to trade? And plus, you'd be locking into such an average team, which is not going to make the playoffs in the Western Conference.
Yeah, but they'd be like play-in tournament every year.
They might be happy with that.
They'd be 10th. It'd be better than 15th, you know?
I mean, they could be happy with that. That's like the one team in the NBA that has no power forward. So it makes sense, you know, logistically, but in terms of who they would give up, I don't even know who they would want from it, Minnesota.
Culver? I guess. I don't know. I don't even know who's on
Slim Pickens.
Yeah, I don't even know who's on this team, to be honest. Man, that's just, ugh. Yuck.
Let's move on. Yeah, Let's move on.
We're done with John Collins and Atlanta talk. How about we talk about Victor Oladipo, guys? He's recently turned down his extension from the Rockets. And, you know, as a team that just brought him in, hoping that, you know, they could convince him to stay, he is out of there. So we're looking at Boogie Cousins, who got waived earlier, like last week, I think. And now Victor Oladipo, this Rockets team, from the beginning of the year, has lost a bunch of guys. Christian Wood has clearly not played in a few weeks, hence their pitiful, pitiful, pitiful performances. No longer the best team in Texas, Raj. And this team is just, they got to make a move for Oladipo and get him out of there. There's no point in holding him there anymore.
Yeah, like I think he's going to be on the move. I think the challenge with whatever team is interested in talks is Oladipo seems like he's set on Miami. He's made it, or it's come out of his camp. There's been rumblings about it, and he would be a good fit there. And I think Miami really is in a position where they don't really have to give up much at this point because he's an unrestricted free agent next year. So I don't see them giving up any big piece or any first round draft pick for him. And I think the Rockets are going to look to move him, and they're kind of doing the right thing because they're tanking. Like, they're doing it completely the right way. They're going to try to get some assets. They might be battling with Minnesota to see who stays in the cellar. And it's funny that they asked Oladipo to re-sign with them after going 0-10 in the last 10. And to be honest, he's going to get more money on the free agent market than what he was offered. And I understand that's all they could offer him, but the timing was everything.
Well, from what was reported, they made that offer just to save face and just show that they're an organization that cares about their players, even though so far we've seen that the Tillman Fertitta, whatever his name is, doesn't seem to really care about anything besides his dollar bills. So I think they made that kind of contract offer knowing that he wouldn't accept it. So they just made it in bad faith, really. And ultimately, he's probably going to be the one guy you would think of that's a higher level type of talent that's going to be moved. You know, Miami does make a lot of sense since they have cap space going into the offseason. They only have really like Jimmy Butler, you know, Bam Adebayo and their young guys on the books. And they can make a nice offer to him if they actually want him, but we don't even know if Miami wants him in the first place.
But they have, wow, I'm looking at Miami's payroll right now, and for next year, they have so many guys on team options. Goran Dragic is at 19.4. Andre Iguodala has a team option for $15 million. Hell no. Myers Leonard at 2.4. Avery Bradley, who's barely played this year, is getting just under $6 million on a team option. Wow, that is incredible. You're right, Josh. Like, the only real contracts they have tied up are Bam and Butler, so Oladipo would be a nice fit.
Yeah, I think if you really consider Oladipo on that team right now, like, if you took off Iguodala and Bradley, who hasn't played in a while, and you put on Oladipo, I think you're really not losing much there. I think overall, like, the net for Miami is a net positive, and he fits that mold of player that would work well with a bunch of shooters around him and a very versatile big and Bam. The interesting thing is I think Miami has come out and said they're looking for another big to pair with Bam, because I think they know come playoff time, they're going to need a big that can give them 10 to 15 minutes of good playing time, especially against Joel Embiid and Giannis and big teams in the East.
Yeah, Miami's going to have to make another move if they do end up getting Oladipo. It does improve their roster, obviously, but they have to get a guy that can play the power forward role for 20 minutes a game. Olynyk's been pretty good overall playing with Bam, but do you really want to go into the playoffs with him as your starter playing 20 to 25 minutes? Maybe, I don't know. Olynyk's been all right in the playoffs over the course of his career. He's a reliable player, and he shoots the three well too, so you have to get a guy that can shoot at least like 37% from three to replace his minutes. And I'm not sure how many guys like that are out there right now.
Not much. I don't know, where else can Oladipo really end up, right? Because I don't know, does he seem like a Heat culture kind of guy?
Yeah, I think so. Like, he was an all defensive player a couple of years ago before he had the quadriceps injury. He's very versatile in the sense that he's a big two guard, and he can guard multiple positions, probably even smaller fours, but you wouldn't want him in those situations. And he shoots the ball pretty well. He's a good decision maker, and again, like, he's had good growth since he was drafted. I think, what was he, like, third overall or fifth overall, something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head, but he's had good growth every year, and I really do think he works hard, and he just wants to be in a culture where they're playing winning basketball, and I think he wants to go to a place that's warm after spending all those years in OKC and Indiana. Can't blame the guy.
I can see a lot of teams going after him, to be honest. I mean, there's going to be a lot of interest around the league for him. It's just a matter of, you know, his physicals coming back and just seeing how healthy he is overall. And if you want to take that risk, and then you obviously have to pay him in the offseason. So you hope that he can stay healthy the rest of the year if you do trade for him. And I don't know. I mean, if you don't have to give up that much for him, especially, you take a flyer on him, see if he works out this season. If he gets injured or just doesn't play as well and he's not up to the standards that he's, you know, set the past couple of years, then maybe you just let him go at that point.
Yeah, how about this? If you're talking about a team that takes a flyer on him, what about the Memphis Grizzlies? They have a lot of young guys that Houston would be interested in, and they can probably offload one or two of them. They can maybe try to start a good culture there. But again, the issue with Oladipo is he seems very set on going to Miami. At least that's what the rumors were circulating. But I think Memphis could be a good place for him to go, especially when you have him potentially replacing your favorite player, Josh, Dylan Brooks.
Oh, yeah. If they can trade Brooks and pieces for him, I would be all in on that. Because Memphis has a culture that's really building right now around Ja, mostly. And, you know, Jaren Jackson, when he gets back in the fold, is going to be a really good piece for them. But whoever they put in their lineup, it just works. Like, they play John Conchar 20 minutes a game. It works. They play D'Anthony Melton, who can't really shoot. He got like a $36 million contract. He plays well for them in his role. So whoever they bring in, they really develop their players really well, and he would fit really well with Ja. Ultimately, for the Grizzlies, I was looking at different players around the league, like younger guys. I think that they're probably more in the market of like a Gary Trent when he becomes a free agent this offseason. A guy like that versus a more veteran type of presence, but I could see it. It makes sense.
Yo, shows a John Conchar, man. First ever mention on the pod.
He's all right.
Wow.
He's like the Utah Watanabe of the Memphis Grizzlies, who they got rid of and replaced him with.
Would you do a trade of Justice Winslow and Dylan Brooks for Oladipo on a flyer?
Yeah. 100%.
And I think, honestly, for Houston, that could be attractive in the sense that they get two players that are pretty young who they can at least play this year and who are on not the biggest of contracts if they don't want to commit to them long term.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good trade. Guys, can we move on? Because All-Star Weekend, or All-Star Day, All-Star Sunday is this weekend, I guess. I really got to hit this quick, so let's get these three-point contest participants out of the way here. We're looking at a lineup of Devin Booker, Jaylen Brown, Steph Curry, Zach LaVine, Donovan Mitchell, and Jason Tatum, who Josh thought should not be an All-Star, which is absolutely absurd.
It's not absurd. It's not absurd.
It is. All these guys are actual All-Stars, which is the hilarious part. They're going to play the game, go to the locker room for like 5-10 minutes at most, and then come back out to have a shooting competition, right? Or is this before?
Yeah, so the skills competition and the three-point contest is just prior to the All-Star game.
Okay, so this is going to be their warm-up for the actual game.
Wait, right? So the dunk contest is at halftime?
Yeah, dunk contest
is at halftime. Yeah, the only one is... Okay.
Exactly. Name the three guys in dunk contest.
Obi Toppin, Simons, and Indiana dude with hop,
Cassius.
Cassius Stanley. Yeah. Yes. All right. Who's everyone got for three-point contest? Booker, Brown, Curry, LaVine, Mitchell, Tatum.
I'm going to go with Booker. Surprising. I think Booker, I think Curry easily could win, and he's probably the favorite, but I'm going to go with the dark horse and Devin Booker. I think he has a lot to prove after being kind of a snub from being an All-Star selection just as a replacement. And surprisingly, I think the worst shooter in here is going to be Donovan Mitchell by a decent margin.
I think Booker won it a few years ago, right? Like 2 or 3 years ago?
I think so.
Booker won it once. You know, obviously, guys, yeah, like Mitchell, Brown, Tatum, I think it's their first time participating in this.
Tatum's going to end up taking step back threes. He's not going to finish his racks.
Donovan Mitchell is going to look for Mike Conley to pass him the ball, man. He's like, what are racks? Why can't someone just bounce past me the ball? What is this?
I think ultimately, though, I'm going to go with like the narrative angle, too. Like, I was going to pick Booker as well, but I'm going to say it's going to be Zach LaVine's revenge tour.
Ah, damn, that was going to be my pick.
Yeah, Zach LaVine's stock is going to go up after this weekend, and so is my top shot of him.
I think, Josh, you have some vested interests here. You know, if you speak it into an existence, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen, but a man can dream. I'm not going to stop you from
dreaming.
All-Star
game MVP, Zach LaVine. It's going to happen.
Oh, man, that'd be so high.
He's going to hit the triple crown. He's going to win the three-point competition. They're going to win the game, and he's going to be the MVP.
I like this new thing that you just made up, the triple crown. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
New titles.
But yeah, Devin Booker did win the three-point contest in 2018.
There you go. Talk about a real dark horse. Give me Jaylen Brown.
Oh, my. Ugh.
Yeah.
Now, come on, Peter. You're just being different for the sake of being different.
Yes, I am. Jaylen Brown, mid-range king this year. He's going to take a step back and give me the win.
His shooting numbers are off the charts this year. Much better than Jason Tatum.
Boom.
Boston's best player this year is Jaylen Brown, so I would not be surprised.
Oh, my God. Yep. You guys
this is correct. Doesn't mean he's not
just stick to the basics.
Doesn't mean Jason Tatum's not an all-star.
Jaylen Brown is a much better player than Jason Tatum right now.
Right now, yes. Doesn't mean Jason Tatum is not an all-star.
Look at his numbers, man. He's inefficient, but let's just move on because you're just wrong. It's okay.
You can have two good players on the same team, Josh. I don't know if you know this.
Not two all-stars, though, when you're under 500.
Oh, yes, you can. Moving on, the NBA Skills Challenge, the most exciting one of the night. We're looking at a lineup. Yo, this lineup is hilarious. Luka Doncic, pretty legit. Chris Paul doing his, I think it's his fifth time around this, if I recall correctly. Robert Covington. That's a HBCU shout out. Only HBCU alum in the league, apparently. Julius Randle from our beloved New York Knicks. Domantas Sabonis, all-star substitute, I think is what we're calling him now. And again, possibly one of the most boring players in the league to watch, but an all-star nonetheless, Nikola Vucevic.
Josh, I'm going to let you get first pick.
I think a big guy is going to win again this year. The big guy won last year, right? Who won last year?
Bam Adebayo won last year.
Yeah, there you go.
The first year that they brought in the bigs, I remember, I think it was Cat that won the very first one with the bigs. Or Sabonis. Sabonis has been in this multiple times, too.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Randle or Vucevic. Who should I pick?
Shouldn't Robert Covington be considered a big? Doesn't he play like 3-4?
He plays 4 mostly, yeah.
Yeah, why is he with slotted with the guards on this?
They take a three-point shot at the end of the competition, right?
Yeah.
Or is it a mid-range?
Yeah. It's a three.
It's a three. Okay.
3-point.
They basically go across like three cones and then shoot a three now. Okay. Maybe one pass or two passes. It's pretty trash compared to what it used to be.
All right, so because Julius Randle's numbers have skyrocketed this year in terms of his assist rate and his three-point shooting up, you know, over 40% this year, I'm taking Randle.
Ooh, okay.
Oof. Okay. I'm going to be very, very basic and just take Mr. Reliable Josh, Chris Paul.
Fifth time in it, and he's never won. I thought you were going to say Chris Paul is due for it, Josh.
Nah, he's not going to try.
I think he will. I think he's really going to hustle for this. It's going to be his warm-up for the game, man. They can't even have shoot-around because there's like all these competitions before.
Nah, Julius Randle's a much better shooter than Chris Paul, obviously, so I'm taking Randle.
Oof. You know what? Give me Robert Covington. He's going to get matched up with Vucevic, I hope. And then he'll just blow by him and then go straight to the final.
It feels like it's a really good thing that in this competition, if you miss the passing part of it, like if you miss those, I mean, you can get like three or four tries to put the ball inside the hoop, right? That you get to move on. Because if not, then Covington could be there all day and the game could be delayed, you know?
I wish it was like a handoff. Like imagine a handoff pass. Covington would be great at those. Somehow. We'd have to change it to Covington and Embiid for handoff passes.
They should have had Embiid in this competition.
That would be fun.
Yeah, no, I just, speaking of like these competitions, I think it's obviously an exceptional year, but with the three-point contest especially, I feel like there's some shooters that have been left out that really take away from this competition. Like, no disrespect to any of the participants, but like you need to see Joe Harris. He's been playing very well this year. That's like a big name. You want to see some three-point specialists that really, this is their time to shine. Like, this is what they get paid their salary so they can win this contest. So I'm a bit disappointed that we are only getting to see six of these players.
Nerd. We don't need more nets at this event, okay? Come on, man. And they also want to limit the guys that they bring in, right? Because this is supposed to be more chill.
Yeah, but they don't really care, event. Do they?
The NBA says they do.
Yeah, but do they care?
The NBA says that they do.
Yeah, and yet they bring in Robert Covington for a skills competition.
Hey, man, they're really promoting this HBCU narrative. So, you know, the NBA's got to do what they got to do.
I find it hilarious, though, that Raj is disappointed that Davis Bertans and Joe Harris are not at the All-Star game not at the three-point competition instead of guys like Mitchell and Booker. Because everyone wants to see the white guy shoot over these guys. Come on, man. Everyone wants to see the stars.
Low-key, Davis Bertans being asked this year, too, so I don't want him there.
Yeah, Davis Bertans, I didn't even mention him, like, I thought of him, but no, I really wanted to see, like, come on, like, I want to see Dame in this competition, he refused.
Dame, yo, remember that one year Dame did all three competitions? I think he's allowed to refuse anything he wants now. Dame has entertained us for years, man, I don't need him in this.
They should have a rap battle between him and Shaq at halftime.
See, that would be cool, instead of the dunk contest.
Oh, yeah.
Just a freestyle. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah, but... Oh, fine.
Well, we're done. We're done. The dunk contest. We have Dominique Wilkins, Josh Smith, Dee Brown, Spud Webb, and Jason Richardson as the judges. Good lineup, guys. A lot of ATL legends. And the dunkers are still hilarious to me. Anthony Simons of the Trailblazers, Cassius Stanley of the Indiana Pacers, and more so their G League affiliate, and Obi Toppin of the New York Knicks.
I hope that Toppin wins because he's the one guy that actually has some like star potential out of those dudes. But I'm picking Cassius. I saw a couple of his dunks from the past couple of years where he tried to recreate some of Vince Carter's dunks and such, and he can get up there. And he's the most athletic, I think, out of those guys.
I think picking the wing players is always the best idea for the dunk contest.
Yeah, I think obviously the lineup's only three dunkers and they're not big names, but I think Toppin is going to have the most stardom out there and he's going to have a lot of power in his dunks. And you know what? Actually, screw it. I saw Cassius Stanley's dunk. We'll remember his name after this, so he's going to win it. I'm going with Josh's pick.
No, it's a clean sweep for Cassius. Let's move on. I want to get you guys to draft up a couple of teams here. So, you know, the past few years, we've had drafts from the top two players. So now you guys get to be LeBron James and Kevin Durant. How about that? Raj, you get to be LeBron.
Oh my God, please, Peter. That was like, I was dreading this. Like, I thought you were going to give me Kevin Durant and I was going
to
live with it.
You get to be LeBron instead of a snake. It's cool, man. Enjoy. So we'll go back and all forth. Right. You guys give us your explanations and let's get to it. LeBron James, who is your first pick of the draft?
I'm going to have to go with Steph Curry.
This guy's actually putting real thought into this.
Yeah, yeah. I think LeBron knows out of the guards, he wants Curry. Curry obviously has a lot of stardom to him, and I know he wants someone just to shoot the lights out, and he wants to win the game, so I'm gonna say Curry.
My pick is who has been the best player in the NBA this year, Nikola Jokic. And I don't think it's relatively close now. After seeing him the past like 5 or 10 games, he's just been absolutely dominant. Even though Denver hasn't won a lot of these games, he's putting up like 40 and 50 point triple doubles. And, you know, going with your narrative, you know, Kevin Durant's going to want somebody to pass him the ball. So
I like that.
Yeah. So LeBron's going to here. He's going to go with his good old rival buddy, Kawhi Leonard, because he needs some defense to hide Steph Curry's maybe lackluster defending.
Kevin Durant picks Giannis Antetokounmpo to create one of the largest front courts in NBA history.
Yeah, but you know what? What LeBron's going to do is he's going to shut that down with probably the biggest body in the NBA, a questionably in shape Joel Embiid.
Questionably? Wow, the disrespect.
No, he's in shape, baby. He's almost been as good as Jokic.
This year's leading MVP candidate. Come on now.
Yeah, I would say so.
All right, so with my pick, since you picked who I was going to pick, I was going to go massive and just pick Embiid and have a massive lineup of big dudes. I'm going to pick the other itch. I'm going to pick Doncic to go with Jokic. And if there's any more itches in the reserves, oh, there is. I'm going to take Vucevic later.
Okay, well, you know who's my first. I'm just kidding. But we know this isn't a realistic draft because we all know that the player that's sitting on the board, you took Doncic? I think he's going to have to take his good old buddy at Nike, Jason Tatum.
Wait, you still have Bradley Beal and Kyrie Irving, guys. Your starting lineups aren't done yet.
Oh, isn't Jason Tatum a starter?
Hell no.
Nah.
Nor does he deserve to be.
Oh no, Jason Tatum's the starter for Kevin Durant. So Kevin Durant's technically not playing.
Did he get the bump to start? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Oh, man. My bad. Wow, Josh, does that mean you're automatically Jason Tatum?
Oh, God.
Well, my bad, guys.
I unselect myself as Jason Tatum.
My bad. Okay, so who's going to pick? Is KD still picking?
Yeah, KD's picking, but Tatum's going to be playing for him.
Okay, so let's just continue on then.
Yeah, so
Yeah, let's continue on.
If Kevin Durant was actually picking, then obviously he would take Kyrie Irving first. So in this pick, I will take Kyrie Irving.
So your lineup right now is?
I have Irving, Doncic, Jokic, and who did I pick? Giannis, as well as Irving.
Yeah. So okay. Raj right now has LeBron, Steph, Kawhi,
Tatum, and Embiid.
Okay. So Josh ends off with Bradley Beal, Kyrie Irving, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Nikola Jokic, and Luka Doncic.
That is correct.
That's how we managed to butcher this draft.
Yeah.
All right. Well, since Rogers got to start, Josh, why don't you start with your reserves?
All right. So, I mean, obviously, if I was Kevin Durant, I'd be picking James Harden, but I'm not going to pretend to be a snake. So I'm just going to pick the guy I like the most, and I am going to take Chris Paul with my first pick.
Well, LeBron says he's one of the most disrespected players in today's game. So Dame Dalla, who's not performing, thankfully, this halftime, I'll take Dame Lillard.
Since I want to keep my team massive and I need somebody to catch all these alley-oops from Chris Paul, I am taking Zion Williamson with my second pick.
Big, 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 big.
You know what? I need a big guard because your team's is playing pretty big. I'm going to have to go with Ben Simmons.
Should I take the itch right now? He's probably going to be available later on, so I'm going to take the itch later. I am going to go with... We can't have James Harden and Chris Paul in the backcourt on the same team as a reserve, so I'm not going to pick him. So I am going to take Revenge Tour All-Star Game MVP Zach LaVine.
Oh, wow. We're going really off... We're going off the board here. I'm going to have to pick up James Harden. Subtly having one of the better seasons of his career, and people aren't talking about it.
Yo, Josh, you had a chance to have Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden on the same team.
Yeah, I don't want James Harden on my team. That's just what this comes down to.
Come on, man. You could have the Brooklyn Nets.
I have all the entertainment on my team. I have both the itches. I got Zion Williamson and Kyrie Irving. I mean, come on. My team is pretty special.
Yeah, but my team's going to win. Like, straight up. Like, LeBron, Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, Kawhi Leonard, Dame Lillard, James Harden. Like, this is
it is my pick right now, isn't it?
Yes, go ahead.
So, on the note of winning this game, I'm going to pick the biggest tryhard that is going to be in this game, and that is Julius Randle. He knows that this might be his only All-Star game. And he's going to go extremely hard for, you know, for New York, for everyone in the boroughs.
If Doc Rivers even plays him.
I don't get it.
Nothing. I'm just saying Doc Rivers might not play him.
Of course he's going to play him. Come on.
That's it. That's all I got.
You left Paul George on the board. I'll gladly scoop him up.
I thought you were going to say that Julius Randle dated one of his daughters or something.
It's a running theme.
Oh, no.
Okay, so you took Paul George, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to take better version of Paul George in the playoffs, and that's Jaylen Brown.
Ooh, wow. The disrespect.
Okay, well, go ahead, and I'll just get another scoring guard in Devin Booker, the future of this league.
Why is Booker not on my list? I should have taken him earlier.
Wow. Devin Booker and Chris Paul going at it against each other.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Booker wants that since Paul has taken over him, right? So I am going to take... I guess I'm going to go with Donovan Mitchell, another tryhard in this game.
I'm going to have to go with the rim protector, Rudy Gobert, who will actually go up and contest some shots.
Yo, Rudy Gobert is probably the bigger tryhard, man.
Yeah.
Let's be real. That guy is such a tryhard for All-Star games.
That is true. And I should have tried to remain huge and get him too, but I am going to remain huge and take the last itch. So I'm going to take Nikola Vucevic.
Oh, gladly. Give me Sabonis. We're going to run the offense through him.
You're going to run an All-Star game offense through Sabonis, huh?
Yo, he got some assists, man. What, he's like top 20 in the league in assists per game for a forward? That's hilarious.
Can you imagine the coach saying that to the rest of the guys out there? It's like, yeah, LeBron, today is not your night. We're actually going to run the offense through DeMontis over there. And DeMontis is going to be like, me? What?
Yo, it's Quinn Snyder, man. You never know what he'll come up with.
Yeah.
That is true. Should be a lot of threes.
So, Peter, objectively, a team of LeBron James, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, Kawhi Leonard, and Steph Curry... with a reserve of Damian Lillard, James Harden, Paul George, Ben Simmons, Rudy Gobert, and Sabonis versus Josh's team. Oh, and I forgot I have Devin Booker. Versus Josh's team of leftovers. Who's winning this All-Star game?
Josh, who do you have on your team?
I have all the itches. I have Giannis.
Yo, name them off, man. Are you
serious? Jokic, Doncic, Vucevic. I got Zion, Chris Paul, Julius Randle, Donovan Mitchell, All-Star Game MVP, Revenge Tour, Zach LaVine. I got Jaylen Brown, who's been on a revenge tour himself this year, looking like a superstar. And who else did I miss? Did I miss Giannis?
No, you said Giannis. Who's on your team.
I got Giannis, and I got Bradley Beal, who's averaging like 40 points a game. I mean, come on. It's not even close.
You're going to lose by 24 points. Like the Elam rule, it's gonna be...
First of all, it's Elam ending, okay? And second of all, Zach LaVine can't be the All-Star Game MVP unless his team wins, okay? So we know my team's going to win.
You know what? I can't wait to see Zion Williamson just bodying up Rudy Gobert in the paint again. He's going to jump into him and Rudy Gobert is going to fly like 8 feet back. But yeah, Roger's team is significantly better, Josh.
No,
come
it's
on,
not.
Man. Team LeBron. The only thing that's going to destroy Team LeBron here is when LeBron and Steph Curry are on the floor together. LeBron's instinctively just going to double-team Steph in the corner, even though he's on his own team.
I forgot to mention that I have the biggest tryhard in the All-Star game, and that is Giannis. Like, he actually tries on defense the entire game, and he's trying to kill people out there. So that alone, plus having Julius Randle off the bench, who's trying to, you know, show up, and then I got All-Star game MVP Zach LaVine. I mean, come on, my team is unbeatable.
Your team is basically the Eastern Conference backups versus the Western. Like, my combined team all-star appearances is probably in the hundreds, and yours is barely hitting 50.
That's not fair, man. LeBron on his own has more than half the league. That's not fair.
That just means that your team isn't hungry enough. They've been there, done that. My team is itching to get in there and show what they've got and become.
Ooh. They're very itching, eh?
Lots of itching.
I see what you did there. That is the one good thing that Josh's team has going for them. Team LeBron. LeBron's already checked out of this game, man. Kawhi's already checked out of this game. That's what I'm worried
then
about.
Then again, Giannis said he did too. But once he gets on the floor, he's going to do his usual stuff.
Yeah, man. Giannis just dunks all day. Who's going to have more dunks in this game? Giannis or Zion Williamson?
That's a good question.
I think right? Zion. I think they're going to want Zion to dunk. I think the league is kind of over Giannis's his game. He's already won his MVP. And his game is very much running into the paint and doing his Euro step. I think the LeBron team is going to prevent that from happening.
All right, well, I guess we'll see on Sunday night how this turns out, guys. This is fun. Can't wait to see how our dunk contest turns out during halftime. Hope these guys just nail their first dunk and move on, because it's going to be brutal if it takes like 17 tries like Nate Robinson and Chris Birdman all over
again.
We'll
be begging for the All-Star game to come back, which most people usually don't.
It'll be a wild, wild situation. Anyways, guys, I think that's all the time we've got for this
week.
What,
no Stats Corner?
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. You got a quick one?
Yeah, of course.
All right, throw it in there, my man.
On the topic of dunks and itches, I have a couple of Nikola Jokic stats for you. Can you guess how many times, going back to yesterday's event where Nikola Jokic buried Raj in his, you know, $1,000 bet yesterday in betting Milwaukee -8 for some unknown reason, where he thought that was a good idea to bet against Jokic with that many points. Jokic made 3 dunks in that game. 3.
Wow.
How many times has he done that in his career before yesterday?
2.
3.
1.
Wow.
February 1st against Toronto, 2016.
Wow. Jeez. That's impressive.
And I've got one more for you. Jokic is shooting 41.1% from 3 this year and 60.6% from 2. Who is the only other player to do that in NBA history?
So 41 and 60?
Yes, 41% or 40% from 3 and then 60 plus from 2. And minimum 1,000 minutes played and 15 plus field goal attempts per game. So you have to be like a superstar type of player.
Is it a recent player?
The player is still playing, yes.
Hmm. Kevin Durant?
No.
Not Steph?
Nope.
Clay?
Nope. It should be pretty obvious if you think back to this player when he was on a different team. He became ultra efficient.
LeBron?
Yes. LeBron in 2012-13.
Oh, that was the year that LeBron just kept taking layups, right?
Yeah, he would only take like, the most efficient shot possible because he didn't really need to do as much.
Yeah.
But still, 41% from three is still very good for LeBron.
Very impressive. And we thought LeBron's getting better as a shooter. Apparently, he peaked in 2012, 2013.
Indeed, he did.
What a scrub these days in his 17th or 20th year, or 28th year, whatever year it is.
Hashtag not my MVP.
But he can still pick a good All-Star team, right?
Yeah. Yes. And team hashtag washed.
And just before we wrap up, Peter, who's going to win the All-Star game? Is it going to be LeBron's team or Kevin Durant's team?
With the real draft or your draft? Because your draft, Raj
wins. But real draft.
But in the real game? In the real game, I'm going to say KD.
I'm going to say LeBron.
Yeah, because Jason Tatum is on the other team, I'm going to go with LeBron's team.
Yeah, y'all bugging. Just watch. LeBron's going to end up taking Steph, and it's going to ruin his team chemistry.
Actually, wait, since KD is picking, whatever team has Jason Tatum on is going to lose. So whichever team that is, I pick the other team.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note, I'm going to call it here. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. Leave some comments on iTunes podcast. We're on all the other podcast platforms, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. You can hit us up on Instagram and Twitter at HoopsCornerPod. And until next time, peace.